This is Digital Story Podcast number 718, December 17th, 2019. Today's theme is Capture One Pro 20 the logical alternative to Lightroom? I'm Derek Story. Among all the camera discounts and holiday hubbub this December, there was some software news as well. Phase One released a major update to its photo management app, Capture One Pro 20. What's interesting about this latest version is that it's aimed squarely at disenchanted Lightroom photographers. Is it truly the logical alternative to Adobe products? I'll explore the possibilities on today's TVS podcast. So first of all, before we get too deep into all of this, why Capture One Pro 20, right? Now, you may have heard the answer to this. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you right now. So the last version, right, the version that came out a year ago was Capture One Pro 12. So of course, we were thinking Capture One Pro 13. Unless you're feeling like, well, that's unlucky, like there's no floor 13 to this hotel, so then maybe you would call it a little something else. But they just zoomed all the way forward to Capture One Pro 20 in celebration of the year 2020, right? Okay, see, there's a connection there in that it just felt a little bit more modern. And that modern thing is quite important. This is an underlying theme to today's show, this discussion about the software, because one of the things that Phase One is trying to do is that if you are disenchanted with Lightroom, if you want to get away from Adobe and the Adobe ecosystem, I mean, Adobe just announced its profits for 2019 and they were like double the previous year. They're doing crazy. It's not in the millions, it's in the billions, right? So if you're tired of all that, they want to present themselves, Capture One Pro, as the logical alternative to Lightroom. Now, they have a strong argument for this, indeed, but does that mean that it's automatically the right choice for you? And that's what we're going to look at a bit more today. We're talking about two very good applications here, right? Both of these are excellent. But just like anything else, there are going to be differences between the two, and one of the two are going to line up better for you, and that's what we want to get to the bottom of today. Now, another reason why I want to do this show today is that we're at the end of 2019, and I think a great time to make a change to your photo management software, if you're going to do it. I guess I should back up and say, there's never a great time, right? Unless you like that sort of thing, unless you enjoy pain and mundane work and all that sort of stuff. But maybe I should say a least bad time to make a change in your photo management software is at the end of one year and the beginning of another, because then that way your 2020 library will be with the software that you're going to use for that year, instead of getting halfway into it or a third into it and then changing. Go, well, yeah, the first part of 2020 is in Lightroom. The second part is in Capture One Pro 20. And that just doesn't feel right. So now, if you're going to do something, is a pretty good time to be thinking about it and then to actually implementing it. I think we should start out by looking at five strengths from each of these applications, because I think they're very different. I use them both, and I think they're very different apps. So I picked out five things that I think are very strong about each one of these. We're going to start with Capture One Pro 20. The latest version just came out this month. All right, at the top of the list, and you've heard me say this before with Capture One Pro, is the raw processing. The raw processing to me is the hands down winner, not only compared to Lightroom, but compared to anything else that I've used. They have, I think, this wonderful combination of math and perception when they build these raw profiles that create something that just make my pictures look good coming right out of the camera. Now, Remember, RAW files aren't necessarily supposed to look great when you first upload them. They're RAW files, right? It's a pancake batter. It's not cooked pancakes. Those are the JPEGs, right? The cooked pancakes are the JPEGs. RAW files are batter. And when that batter comes out looking as good as it does in Capture One Pro, that to me is a real strength. And I use it for my Olympus cameras. I use it for my Fujis. I use it for my Nikons. And I use it for Pentax. So I've got a pretty good cross-section there of cameras that I use the RAW decoding for, and it's terrific with all of them. Second thing, the layers and luminosity masks in the current version of Capture One Pro, they're easy and they're powerful. And I love their implementation of layers. In Photoshop, especially back in the day, I did not like layers. I thought they were hard, they were confusing, they made me grumpy, and they took me out of the joy of image editing, right? I started out being excited about the picture, and then I was just in a bad mood. And layers, and working with layers in Capture One Pro 12 and now 20, they're fun, they're easy. I just really enjoy them. And luminosity masks are terrific in Capture One Pro. And you can actually understand what's going on because the graphical interface makes sense and the results are obvious, okay? So layers and luminosity masks in Capture One Pro 20, fantastic. Third thing, fully configurable workspaces. If you don't want to be told how your workspace should look, then Capture One Pro is the way to go because you can customize it and then save your customization so that it's always there for you. And you can have different customizations. So let's say that sometimes you're in a portrait mood and sometimes you're in a landscape mood. You can have workspaces that reflect, you know, those different moments in your photo processing. I love the configurable workspaces. It's something that I was really irritated about when we lost them in Luminar 4. But we still have them in right here in Capture One Pro 20 and as good as it gets. Fourth thing, outstanding color tools. And especially if you're a portrait photographer, if you learn how to use the color tools in Capture One Pro, you can do amazing things, especially for skin. You don't have to go to Photoshop. You don't have to go anywhere else. You can do all of your color retouching right there in Capture One Pro. The color tools are, I think, the best in the business. And then finally, number five. These are my five favorites. There are more, but these are my top five. Almost magical exposure controls, especially with the contrast slider, which you would never think would be anything that you would touch, but also with highlights and shadows, which now have highlights, shadows, blacks, and whites. Okay, so, and this is new in Capture One Pro 20, but the contrast slider is more than just contrast. It is magic. It just makes the image look better. There's a couple things going on in that algorithm. And then the highlights and shadows are just beautiful. You still have levels, you still have everything else, curves, all that kind of stuff that you want. I tell you though, most of my editing can be, hopefully my exposures are somewhat good to begin with, but I love opening up the shadows, I love recovering highlights, and I love adding that little bit of extra oomph with the contrast slider. Almost magical exposure control. So those are the five things that I really, really like in Capture One Pro 20. RAW processing, layers and luminosity masks, fully configurable workspaces, outstanding color tools, and almost magical exposure controls. Now let's get to Lightroom, which is definitely not a slouch in the photo management and editing business. First thing, HDR and panorama processing. I love those tools in Lightroom. The HDR processing is, you know, no nonsense, right? If you're there to really expand the dynamic range and not create something that's just otherworldly, Lightroom does a great job, and it does a wonderful job with panorama processing too. I just think these are wonderful tools. We don't have them in Capture One Pro. We do have them in Lightroom, and they're outstanding. cloud integration with wonderful mobile apps. Adobe has worked very hard to do cloud integration. They've got the whole Creative Cloud thing going. They have the mobile apps. Everything is tied together beautifully. This is really sweet, and I think they do a great job. And especially if you're a photographer who travels away from the home base a lot, maybe travels with an iPad or a small laptop, you can do so much with Adobe products and their cloud integration and keep your whole library together even when you're not at your main computer. Fantastic stuff. They've worked hard on it, and it's really paid off. You have more training, more third-party plugins, and a bigger ecosystem with Lightroom. So if you're someone that really likes to go out and, you know, learn all the nuances of an application, if you want to get some training from this guy, then you want to get some training from this gal. If you want to pick and choose how you learn stuff, you want plugins galore covering all sorts of different things. Lightroom is the way to go because it just has that bigger ecosystem. There are more trainers, there's more videos, there's more plugins, more, because it's bigger. The fourth thing is price. Yes, I think Lightroom is more affordable than Capture One Pro. I'm going to break that down after we finish this list here. But yes, I think Lightroom gets the nod for price. And then finally, better integration with Photoshop and the entire Adobe ecosystem. So if you're someone that still likes using Photoshop, if you like the other tools in the Adobe ecosystem, if you're in a shop that is an Adobe shop, in other words, you're working with other artists who use Adobe products and you want to share content, all of that stuff is easier with Lightroom than it is with Capture One Pro. So those are the five Lightroom strengths. And of course, there are others for Lightroom as well as Capture One, but those are the five that really jump out at me. So if you're dissatisfied with Lightroom, then I think a place to start is, why are you dissatisfied with it? You know, what are you looking to change by switching to another application? If it's price, then maybe you ought to stick with Lightroom, in all honesty. Let's take a look at the numbers. Capture One Pro perpetual license is $299. Okay, so $299 right out of the gate, which this day and age feels expensive. And then let's just say that I'm going to upgrade every other version. I'm not even going to upgrade every version. So every other year, I'm going to upgrade. And so I want to upgrade from Capture One Pro 11 to Capture One Pro 20, okay, skipping 12. Well, there's $199 for that upgrade, okay? So I have the perpetual license I pay $299 for, and then I want to do the upgrade a couple years later, that's $199. So this investment should last me 48 months, right? The first 2 years that I use the perpetual license, and then the next 2 years that I use the upgrade to the license. And you break that down, and that still works out to $10.35 a month, okay? And that's not even using the most current version of Capture One Pro all the time. So if you go with a subscription plan with Capture One Pro, which they offer, now this will keep you current through all the different versions of the app. So you'll always be current on the subscription plan. And you could be also on the perpetual license if you wanted to pay for it. But on subscription, you will always be current. So that'll cost me $20 a month if I pay monthly, all right, which is twice as much as I pay for Lightroom and Photoshop, or $180 a year if I pay all at once. Okay, so the subscription plan to Capture One Pro is more expensive than the $9.99 that I'm paying right now for Photoshop, Lightroom, Lightroom Mobile, and then, you know, some other odds and ends mixed in, and even a little bit of cloud storage. Not a ton, but, you know, a little bit there. If price is the thing that's bugging you, or the subscription plan to Lightroom is the thing that's bugging you, then I don't think Capture One Pro is going to solve your problem, okay? That is not the reason to switch to this application. Now, another complaint that we hear with Lightroom is speed, right? Oh, it's so slow, it bogs down, it's, you know, all these things. And yes, Lightroom does have its moments where it feels like it's taking its time. I do think it has become better over the last few years. But yes, there are moments where I would like it to go faster, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way. The thing is, though, in all honesty, using Capture One Pro, and again, I work off a laptop 90% of the time. And so off my mid-2014 MacBook Pro, okay, so it's getting up there in age, but it's got a good processor, it's got plenty of RAM, it's got SSD, so it's not a slouch either. The two feel very similar to me. And in other words, if I'm working in Lightroom and then I go to Capture One Pro, I don't go, oh, wow, this is so much faster. I don't feel that way. I feel that Lightroom is actually faster in some areas and Capture One Pro is faster in other areas. I think that's more or less a dead heat. If I really wanted to, I could go off numbers, you know, do some real speed tests and all that sort of stuff. But the bottom line is the thing that really counts for me is how does it feel when I'm using them day in and day out? And to me, I don't really feel that much difference between the two. So again, if you're looking to switch out of Lightroom because of speed or lack thereof, then I don't think that Capture One Pro is going, you know, to really win you over either. Now, of course, with Capture One Pro, the thing that you can do is you can download a 30-day free trial, fully usable application, and you can test some of these things for yourself. You can really test, see how your images look, see how, you know, the speed is on your particular configuration, all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, get a feel for it. So, you know, you always have that option. And then the other thing I would say in terms of price, there are lesser versions of Capture One Pro. And what I mean by that, lesser costs, more affordable versions, but they're constrained to like either Fuji cameras or Sony cameras, stuff like that. I don't recommend them unless you just know you're going to shoot Fuji from now to the end of your days. Because the minute you get another camera and you want to add it to your Capture One Pro library that's not a Fuji, you're going to have a problem. So I don't recommend those, but they are a good way if you shoot Sony, if you shoot Fuji, they are a good way to get a feel for, you know, more of the features of Capture One Pro without being limited to 30 days. Okay, so I think in that sense, they are useful. So now we come down to, okay, what are the circumstances that it would be better for me to switch from Lightroom to Capture One Pro? Well, there are definitely, you know, some things to consider. And one of them is if the mobility part isn't an issue for you. If you mainly work at one computer and, you know, you have your software on there, you have your external drives connected, you know, all that kind of stuff, then you don't need those other features in Lightroom. And Capture One Pro library and management system, I actually like better than Lightroom's. And I think that, and I think this is particularly true for people coming to Capture One Pro more from Aperture to Capture One Pro than Lightroom. Capture One Pro has still sort of an Aperture feel to it, more so than Lightroom to me. And I think Aperture users a lot of times like Capture One Pro or can, you know, learn it faster or identify with it. So if mobility and cloud isn't a big deal to you, but library management is, then I think that's a circumstance where Capture One Pro is a little bit better. And I read all sorts of varying comments about the library structure in Capture One Pro, from people who say that it's not a strength and they actually like Lightroom's better, to people who say it's far superior to Lightroom's. I can only tell you that I think it's better than Lightroom's. It just makes more sense to my brain. You know, I guess that's the easiest way for me to put it. If you're single computer based, especially if you don't need the mobile side and you like the library organization in Capture One Pro, I think that is, you know, something definitely worth looking at. If you're not satisfied with the raw processing in Adobe's Lightroom or any of its other products, and you take a look at the raw processing for the cameras that you use in Capture One Pro, and you notice a substantial difference, that to me is worth looking at, right? Because at the end of the day, it really is about the image. And if your image just looks better as you move it out of Capture One instead of Lightroom, then I think, you know, that is another reason why you might prefer Capture One Pro to Lightroom and would want to make a change. Also, if you're not a Photoshop person, or if you just don't want to do Photoshop anymore, but you still want to do some layered work. You still want to work with luminosity masks. You still want to do that kind of stuff, but you want to do it all in one application, then Capture One Pro is really strong at that, and you don't have to round trip out to another application. You can still have, you know, layered work, and you can come back to it. It's non-destructive, you know, all that kind of stuff, and don't have to go out to another application. And if you've just had it with Photoshop, or you just don't feel like you need any more, but there are certain things that you want to do, you know, with radial screens on separate layers or gradient screens on separate layers or, you know, stuff like that, then Capture One Pro is very compelling, very compelling. And then another reason is that if you just want to have a more configurable workspace, if you just want to have, I just want to take this and have this over here and this over here and this over here. Again, I think that is a compelling argument for Capture One Pro. That being said, you'll have to pay a bit more for those luxuries. Answer my original question then, is Capture One Pro the logical alternative to Lightroom? I think it is. I think it is. I think it really is. I think that most photographers would be happy using one application or the other. I think the question is, you know, which one is the better fit for you? So if you're just not happy with Lightroom, and you won't miss some of the things that I've talked about that you would give up by going to Capture One Pro, then it is the logical alternative. And that doesn't mean that there aren't other alternatives out there, On One, Luminar, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying that of all the alternatives out there, and there's a bunch of good ones, I think Capture One Pro is the strongest, the most professional choice if you don't want to use Lightroom. So the answer is yes, but does that mean you should switch? Well, that's up to you. Adobe Photoshop for iPad gets AI-powered select subject feature. And this is a post that's on DP Review, and I have a link to the original post in the show notes if you want to take a look at it. It's interesting, we're talking about Lightroom today, and we're talking about the Adobe ecosystem. Well, you know, Photoshop for iPad is definitely part of that ecosystem. And, you know, if you're subscribing to the photo plan, you know, you get it. Some folks were underwhelmed by the original release, and Adobe says, yeah, we're promising stuff. Well, here's one of the things that they promised. Let me read you what DP Review reports. At launch, Adobe said more powerful features would be added over time, and back in November, the company provided more detail on timelines and features that are to come. As promised, the AI-powered Select Subject feature, which lets you isolate subjects in the scene from the background, has now been made available. In most cases, a selection can be made with just one tap, even if the subject has a complex outline. In a second step, filters or other edits can be applied to either the isolated subject or the background. Adobe says the function works and performs on the same level as for the desktop version, despite the iPad's processing limitations. Machine learning was used to train the tool's algorithms using a wide range of objects and scenes, but the company says it is still working on optimization for difficult subjects like hair or fur. Additionally, the app has been updated with faster cloud upload and download and some user interface tweaks. More information available on the Adobe website. So this sounds pretty slick. I haven't tried it yet, but if this selection tool, this AI-powered select subject tool, works as advertised, well, that is pretty nice. And that might make some folks who were unhappy with the first version of Photoshop on the iPad a lot more happy. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? Over the last year, I've received donations from TDS members who have film cameras that need a good home. What I do is I inspect the items, I repair and clean as I can, and then I list them in the film camera shop where I can find a good home for them. If you're interested in donating, please use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer site. That's www.thenimblephotographer.com. On the contact form, one of the checkboxes there is donating film camera. Go ahead and let me know what you have, and I'll get back to you. And thank you so much for your consideration. It's a win-win-win all the way around. You get to put that camera back out into the world where it can be useful. It helps support the site. And then someone who really wants to use it, who really wants to engage in film photography, will have a clean, dependable camera to use and not get ripped off from, let's say, some of the other online sites. Like I said, it's a win-win-win, and thank you so much for your consideration. All right, I'd like to do a few updates, a few Virtual Camera Club updates here. First of all, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support us week in and week out. They are the backbone of our photographic community here. And we've been having some good conversations over on our Patreon site. If you're interested in supporting this podcast and supporting this community, then go over to our Inner Circle site, our Patreon site. We have a Patreon tile on every page of the Digital Story. All you have to do is click on it. It'll take you over there. You can nose around a bit, and hopefully you will join the Inner Circle and help support the show. And those who are already doing that, thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. Our LA Street Photography Experience is coming up on March 13 through 15. It's a 3-day event, and it's going to be a blast. I've been having fun working on it. I've been having fun having conversations with folks as they're preparing to come out. If you want to join myself and Mike Baining on this Southern California adventure, this street adventure, then just visit the Nimble Photographer site, www.thenimblephotographer.com. Click on workshops. You'll see the LA Street Experience there. You can reserve a spot for $100, and then I'll follow up with you and help you get registered if you choose to do so. That also gives you a chance to ask more questions and kind of find out what's going on. We're going to have a great time with this event, and I hope to see you there. Speaking of software applications, if you're interested in upping your game in Photos for Mac OS Catalina and now for iPad OS as well, I have a new training on both LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com. We can learn everything that you need to know about those two apps. Talk about integration, the way the iPad and Photos on the Mac integrate now using iCloud is just a beautiful thing. I just ran a piece the other day on Digital Story showing that in the Photos app, it's easier to edit videos than it is just about any other way. So if you shoot a little video with your iPhone, it's automatically in the iCloud ecosystem. You can actually edit it in Photos using the Photos editing tools, something you can't even do on the Mac. Fun stuff like that. I cover it all in LinkedIn Learning and on lynda.com. I have links to that training on both of those platforms. Just go to the show notes, click on the links, and take a look. There's some free movies there as well. I have both B&H and Amazon Tiles on the Digital Story. If you're going to buy something, which we do every now and then, right? If you will click on one of those tiles first and then navigate to what you want to buy, that helps support the site. Now, the links that I have in the show notes, those are affiliate links, and we get credit. The Digital Story gets credit if you make a purchase via that link, but it doesn't cost you anything more. And a big thanks to those folks that use those affiliate links to make purchases on both Amazon and B&H. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. So my big printing day for the holidays is going to be this Wednesday, which is, if you're listening to podcasts on Tuesday, it's going to be tomorrow. I have the whole day set aside for printing. I'm going to do some fine art cards. I'm going to do some prints for family members. I bought a bunch of frames. I bought 5x7 frames in bulk. So I'll be able to frame everything. I'm going to do a larger print of a couple special items. So I have all this stuff. I already have my list made out of what I'm going to print and how many copies of each. I'm going to print it all on Red River paper. I'm really excited about some of these items that I'm going to be giving to people as part of their holiday gift. I tell you, real prints that people can put on the wall, put on their desk, you know, look at without any additional devices, that is something that I think is still magical. If you want to learn more about creating your own fine art prints, go to Red River Paper. We have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. They have all the paper that you'll need and everything else, ink, tutorials, reviews, the whole thing. They are my one-stop shopping to make sure that I stay in business and that I keep prints flowing to all the people that I care about. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast, our longest running sponsor. And don't forget about their Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. Capture One Pro 20, it's very nice, it's very strong. I'll be curious to see what folks say in the comments. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.